We turn in the Holy Scriptures to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Our scripture reading is the entire psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. On the basis of this passage and the entire Word of God, we take for our instruction Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 47 is found on page 26 in the back of the Psalter. Continuing the Catechism's instruction in our Lord's Prayer, we come to the first petition. Question 122 of the Catechism asks, which is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer that teaches us how to pray, is a petition that invites us to answer a question concerning ourselves. And that question is, what is your greatest need? What is your most urgent prayer? What is your deepest desire? What is the most important thing in all the world to you personally? The first petition of the model prayer shows us Jesus' answer to those questions. What is most important in all the world? What is our greatest need? What ought to be our most urgent prayer and our deepest desire? Hallowed be thy name. Jesus instructs us here that the most important thing in all the world is the glory of God. The glory of the God of our salvation, who in boundless grace has taken us poor sinners and made us his own sons and daughters. The glory of the God who created all things. That is the most important thing in all the world. And as the creatures to God, and as his children redeemed by his grace, the purpose for our existence to bring glory to the name of our God and Father. And so our Lord Jesus is teaching us how to pray. He is teaching us what to pray. The six petitions of the model prayer summarize all of our needs, summarize for us all that we are to bring before God in prayer. And this stands at the front. This is number one. This is most important. This must loom large in our minds. The glory of God. That I desire above all things. So in my prayers, and in my life of prayer, and in all of my Christian life, this is the focus, this is the center, this is the heart, this is my goal. That all I say, all I do, all I think, all I desire, I glorify God. We're weak sinners yet. We often sin against our God and our Father. We strive daily and have to struggle daily against our sinful flesh, and so we must go to God in prayer. This petition, Father, hallowed be thy name. Glorify thyself and give me the grace I need to glorify thee. So let us dig into these beautiful words that our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, so that we might be spiritually refocused on that which is the most important thing in life, and that we may go forward into the week ahead with the determination, by God's grace, to hallow his most excellent name. We consider Lord's Day 47 and Psalm 8 under the theme, Praying Our Father's Name Be Hallowed. Praying Our Father's Name Be Hallowed. Notice 3 points explaining how we hallow our Father's name. We hallow his name by knowing him. Secondly, we hallow his name by praising him. And thirdly, we hallow his name by living for him. The Heidelberg Catechism begins its explanation of the first petition in a rather intriguing way, perhaps a way we would not expect. Let us notice that. Which is the first petition? Hallowed be thy name. And then the Catechism goes on to explain what this petition means. For when we say those words, hallowed be thy name, that is, grant first rightly to know thee. The first petition is a prayer for knowledge. And that makes sense because in order to hallow God's name, in order to glorify him, we have to know him. All creatures were created to glorify God's name. That's the purpose of the creature, to bring glory to the Creator. Psalm 8, verse 1 sets that reality before us. God's name, his excellent name, is found throughout the creation. Lord, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The earth exists for this purpose, to glorify him. And as the psalm goes on, the psalmist David ponders and considers the wonder works of God in the creation, the moon and stars which he has ordained, all of the different animals that inhabit the sphere of creation, and all of these things are here for that purpose, to glorify God and to reveal God. The sun, when it shines, reveals the beauty of God. The expanse of the heavens shows the vastness of his power down to the smallest creatures. Glorify God. But you and me, human beings, are also God's creatures. And he has placed us in this marvelous and beautiful creation for the same purpose, to glorify him. But you and I have a unique privilege in that we do not bring glory to God in the same way that the rest of creation does. We do not glorify God in the way that the rocks and the trees and the stars and the sun glorify God. They all glorify God unconsciously, without intention. God created man, a unique creature. Psalm 8 expresses that. A little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, given dominion over all the works of God's hands. Human beings God has created with a mind and with a heart. He made us moral, rational creatures with the unique capacity to stand in relationship with God, to know the God who made us. The rocks do not consciously know the God who made them. The sun does not consciously know the God that made it. But you and I know the God who made us. And from that knowledge, our calling is to glorify our God, to consciously worship, praise, and adore him, to hallow his name. And so we see how the Catechism is very accurate in its explanation of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. It is laying the foundation here for this petition and for all of our prayers. To pray, hallowed be thy name, we must know God. We must know him rightly, in truth, as he truly is. Otherwise, we pray to an idol. And notice also that the Catechism emphasizes Jesus' words that we
hallow God's name. His name, his personal name. We must know him. Not merely know about him. Not merely know that he exists. But know him personally. It's the language of covenant, the language of love, the language of personal relationship. That's what true knowledge of faith is. It isn't an abstract conception of God. It is a living relationship with God. We know him in a way similar to the way you know your closest friend and companion. That's the kind of knowledge that is spoken of here. And so the first petition we must see is a request for knowledge. That's the foundation. Grant us rightly to know thee. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are asking, Father, grant me true, rich, deep knowledge of thyself. Show me thy glory. Reveal to me thy perfections. And we must pray for this knowledge. Because we human beings cannot, of our own efforts, of our own ingenuity, reach up into heaven and lay hold of God and examine him. He is the incomprehensible one, infinitely exalted above us. In order for us to know God, he must stoop down to us, speak to us, and reveal himself to us. In other words, revelation. In other words, the Bible. Here's the connection between the Bible and the first petition. Here is the knowledge of God. Here is the means God uses to cultivate our relationship with him. Here we find the knowledge necessary to pray, hallowed be thy name. For it is the word of God that shows us God as he truly is. It is the word of God that reveals his glorious attributes and perfections. It is the word of God that shows us his many marvelous works. It is the word of God that is the lens that we wear over our eyes that enables us to see his handiwork in the creation. The word and the knowledge of God gained from that word is at the root of the first petition. We must know God. And when we know God, we pray, hallowed be thy name. So before we move on, let us apply these truths. Let us make a few applications. In the first place, the Catechism shows us what the purpose of all knowledge is. And in particular, the Catechism shows us what the purpose of all doctrinal knowledge is. The most important knowledge in all the world is the knowledge of the doctrines of the Christian faith. And the doctrines of the Christian faith are simply the teachings of the Bible, God's own words to his people. But the purpose of this knowledge is not to just be brain clutter, to accumulate in our minds, but we do nothing with it. The purpose of all the knowledge of God is to fuel our relationship with our Creator and our Redeemer. The purpose of all doctrinal knowledge is to bring forth doxology, to draw from our hearts and from our mouths praise. The purpose of the knowledge of God is so that we say with all our hearts, hallowed be thy name, my God, whom I love and adore and delight to praise. That's the purpose of knowledge. That's the goal of knowledge. To be applied to all of covenant education. We cherish our good Christian schools. We cherish the important tradition of catechism instruction in the Church of Jesus Christ. We cherish all forms of pious religious education for our children. But what's the purpose? What's the goal of all of that? You can summarize it as this. Bringing our children to spiritual maturity so that they, from the heart, pray. That's the aim of it all. That's a parent's chief desire. That's what we above all desire for our children, to see and to hear them from the heart pray. Hallowed be thy name. Glory to God, my Father, who I know, and my Savior, whom I love. Covenant education is a means in God's hand for bestowing knowledge, true knowledge upon our children, so that they from the heart will praise their God. Children and young people, when you go to catechism, when that starts up again, think about it that way. Not just going to fill your head with some facts, though those facts are important. You're going to catechism to grow in your relationship with God. And what you learn in catechism, let it lead you. Let it lead you to praise Him. Second application. First petition of the Lord's Prayer implies that we have a deep interest in the ministry of the gospel and that we pray earnestly for the preservation and the expansion of the ministry of the gospel in our midst. Knowledge, we need knowledge of God, and the chief way that God bestows that knowledge upon us is through the preaching of the gospel, through the exposition of the word of God. And therefore, it is of crucial importance that there be ministers of the gospel in the churches to proclaim that word, to feed God's people with knowledge. And so when we pray, hallowed be thy name, we understand in order to hallow God's name, we must know God and our generations must know God. And in order to know God, we need the exposition of the scriptures. And so along with that first petition, we pray, Father, provide us pastors. Grant us pastors after thy own heart to labor in the churches. And along with that, grant us good Christian school teachers to teach our children, to feed them with knowledge also. Third application. If we are going to pray the petition, hallowed be thy name, that implies this calling, that every single one of us has eagerness and an intense interest in the word of God. So that when we come to church, we have ears open to the preaching of the gospel, eager to hear that word of God. It also means that we're avid readers of the Bible ourselves. Yes, that is an application we hear all the time, and yet it must be repeated because it is so important. The central thing in all of life is glorifying God, and in order to glorify God, we must know God, and we know God through the scriptures, and therefore we must be in the scriptures, reading them, not just mindlessly, but digesting the word of God so that it feeds our souls and leads us to glorify the name of God. Let us be a people of the book, a people of the word. Let us pray. Father, grant us this knowledge. Grant us to know thee. Feed us with thy word in order that we may glorify thee. That leads us to the second point. We hallow God's name by praising him. All that we have just said about knowing God is the foundation. And now the catechism is going to build on that foundation. When we know God, when we have true knowledge of God, that true knowledge of God stirs us up to praise God and to hallow his name. And thus, when we pray the first petition, we are saying this: grant me to know thee in order that I may praise thee. That's really what it means to hallow God's name. At root, hallowing God's name is praising him. Let's look first generally at the meaning of the words that our Lord teaches us to pray. Hallowed be thy name. God's name. God has a name. Many names. Names that he reveals in scripture. Children, as you read your Bible and you come across those names of God, Jehovah, Good Shepherd, God, Lord, and so many others. That's God speaking to you. He's telling you his name, and in telling you his name, he's telling you what he is like. He reveals himself. He shows himself to you. He says, this is who I am. This is what I am like. These are the things I delight in. These are my works. This is what I am doing. God's names reveal who he is. And thus, in summary, God's name is God himself. There's no distinction between God and his name. He is his name. And therefore, when we take his name upon our lips, we are speaking to God himself, or we are speaking about God. And that is why it is so important to only use God's name reverently. God is his name. Hallowed be thy name, Jesus teaches us to pray. Children, do you know what it means to hallow something? It's an old word. We don't use it very often in English anymore. But you can remember it this way. It means holy. Hallow means holy. To hallow something is to set it aside as holy. To make it holy or to see it as holy. Now, of course, to hallow God's name doesn't mean to make his name holy or to make it more holy. That's impossible. God is the Holy One. He cannot be made more holy. He is supreme perfection. He is holiness itself. To hallow God's name means to recognize the holiness of his name, see the glory of his name, acknowledge how great and majestic his name is, and then praise him. Hallow God's name is to see God's glory and to glorify him for his glory. To praise. And so now specifically, let us see what the Catechism says about praising God's name. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, we are praying, grant first rightly to know thee. And now flowing from that knowledge and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee, in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And the idea here is, when the child of God knows God, the eyes of his faith are open wide to see the glory of God. David, in Psalm 8, sees the glory of God in creation. He sees God's excellent name everywhere, particularly in the works of God's hands. And that's what the Catechism is emphasizing too. As we live with wide-eyed faith in the midst of the world, the child of God sees the works of God everywhere. And in those works of God, the child of God sees the glorious name of God spelled out. And he's moved to praise his God.
David looks about himself in the creation, records it in Psalm 8. Sun, moon, the stars which God has ordained, all of the animals, and all of these creatures, they're like billions of letters throughout the creation, all of which spell out the most excellent name of Jehovah. God's glory is revealed in the work of his hands. So when we pray the first petition, we're asking God, Father, give me knowledge of thee. Grant me eyes that are open to see thy power, thy wisdom, thy goodness, all of thy attributes displayed in the work of thy hands, so that everything around me may become a means by which I glorify thee. As I live in the midst of the world, everything directs me to thee. Everything is a pointer to thee so that I hallow thy name constantly, unceasingly, in the midst of this world. Important question for us then. Do we live in the world with the eyes of our faith wide open? Is that how we look at things? We look around us and see the works of God. The power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, truth of God clearly displayed in them. We ought to. The Christian life is a life of wide-eyed wonder at the works of God. Creation. How creation is meant to lead us to hallow God's name. The spacious heavens declare the glory of our God. The outermost reaches of space reveal the vastness of his power. The intricacy and complexity of the human body testifies to the wisdom of God that put it all together. The vast variety of creation, the oceans to the mountain peaks, the forests, the wetlands, the deserts, and all the creatures that inhabit them, all of these things reveal the most excellent name of God. And we, the children of God, have been given renewed minds to perceive God's name in all of his works and to bring praise to his name. It's one of the great evils of our day, of our modern society, that with all of our technology, all of our scientific advancement, and all of the things that men pride themselves in, our society is so utterly godless.
How many documentaries are produced? How many photos are taken? How many essays and periodicals written on the majesty of creation? As the microscope goes deeper and deeper into the small world all around us, and as the telescope in the observatory looks out into the outermost reaches of space, man marvels. Yet the name of God is never mentioned. It's a horrible evil. It's unbelieving man doing everything he can with his science and philosophy to squeeze the Creator out of the creation. He devises all of his ingenious ways of doing it, the cult of Darwinism, for example. This universe has no God. It's the product of unguided natural forces over an extensive period of time. And in this unbelief, where there's no God, there's no glory of God, there's such a crisis of purposelessness and meaninglessness. Is that not a struggle that so many of our day have? Life seems meaningless. And that's because the philosophy of the world says, you're nothing. You live in the midst of an empty darkness of this universe. It's meaningless. It's purposeless. It's only going to destruction. It's a cosmic accident, and you are but a little spark floating in the uncaring, uncompassionate, purposeless darkness. You are accidentally ignited, and momentarily you will be snuffed out. It's the world. It's the thinking of the world. How different is the Christian gospel? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which sets before us, there's a Creator, a glorious Creator, and He is the Redeemer of His people. He has redeemed them by the blood of Christ. He has made them His own possession. And now He calls them to hallow His name, to see His glory and beauty in all of the works of His hands. That and that alone gives purpose and meaning to this life. We are not sparks floating through the empty darkness of the universe. But as Psalm 8 sets before us, we are the creatures made by the hand of God. And as God's people, we are creatures refashioned and being refashioned after the image of Christ, created and recreated for His glory. There's the meaning and purpose of life. And it's not just a meaning and purpose set aside for an elite few. It is the meaning and purpose of every believer's life. Hallow the name of God in all that you do. This transforms even the most ordinary things of earthly life. Take a walk at the beach, Holland State Park. Many of us like to do that. It's good. Good exercise. Time of refreshment. Time of relaxation with friends and family. What makes it good above all is that as we walk along the shore of Lake Michigan, we see the sand. We hear the birds. Hear the roaring of the waves. You see the sunset. All of those things show us God. And the petition of the Lord's Prayer, the first petition, just rises up in our heart. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Glory to thee, God, who made all these things. And that little walk on the beach becomes a means by which you fulfill the purpose of your existence. Glorify God. That's the meaningful Christian life. Life of walking with God and glorifying Him. Hallowed be thy name. And we're put in this beautiful creation, given all of these helps that lift our minds to the God who made it all. What a glorious God. That's just scratching the surface. Not only are God's attributes and glory revealed in the creation, just the works of His hands, but His attributes and glory, His wisdom, His power, His goodness is revealed in the ongoing work of His providence. Wonderful also are the works of His providence, His upholding and His governing of all things within the creation. The child of God must consider this too. We must have eyes wide open to the fatherly hand of God at work each and every day in the world. Faith sees that hand as a fatherly hand, not the hand of an uncaring Almighty God, but an Almighty God who is also my Father, who I know works all things for my good. Thus, the Christian has a completely different perspective on history, has a completely different perspective on current events. It's easy to get sick of hearing about current events. From a certain perspective, that's understandable. We must have a Christian perspective. God is at work in current events. COVID-19, government orders, protests, riots, all of these things are God's work, which he is sovereignly working by the almighty hand of his providence. He is in control of these things. He controls everything that happens within the realm of creation, and he works all things for his good, perfect, and blameless purposes. Even the wrath of men must praise him. Even Satan, whose leash God holds, serves God's purposes. Because he is sovereign, reigns over all. That ought to control how we view history, how we view the things that are going on in the world. When we look at things, even the bad things, even the things that make us anxious, we must remember God is in control and God is working. And these current events reveal his power. They reveal his wisdom. And yes, they reveal his goodness to his people. And so as we look at the events in the world around us, let these things too also lead us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Make it more personal. The works of God's providence in your life. So easily we become spiritually blind to the daily ministry of God's hands to us in our daily life. We go about our business. We go out, we come in. We sit down and eat. We go about our work. But every millisecond, every day, is given to us by the hand of God, who guides us, who controls what happens in that day, who protects us as we go out and come in, who gives us safety, who put that roof over our head, who put that food in front of us. Hallowed be thy name. Everything that I experience in this life ought to lead me to say, "Hallowed be thy name." Yes, everything. Trials too. Troubles too. Because those are God's works. Sufferings, the sicknesses, the disappointments, the heartaches, the troubles. These things too, God uses for our good. Sometimes we can't see it because his ways are higher than our ways. His ways aren't our ways. His wisdom is infinite. Ours is so finite and small. We only see a little bit of the picture. God has the whole picture before his mind. He's the one that sovereignly works even our greatest adversities for our good. Think of Job, Job 1:21. After losing everything, what does he say? "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In other words, hallowed be thy name. Because Job, by God's grace, saw that even though he couldn't understand these sufferings, God was doing it for good. And God was glorifying his own name through Job's sufferings. And Job understood that the glory of God is the most important thing in all of the universe. And so if the glory of God requires that I suffer, that I go through this trial, so be it. Hallowed be thy name, thy will be done. That's not easy. That's awfully rough and hard sometimes. God gives us the grace. Gives us the grace to pray, "Hallowed be thy name," in the midst of adversity. When our hearts are fixed on the glory of God, that gives us the strength to go through those adversities because they're never purposeless. We're not in that Darwinian universe of emptiness and meaninglessness. We're in the universe God made and God controls and in which God works all things for his glory. Therefore, everything that happens in my life, that comforts you. Finally, salvation. Talked about how God's works in creation, God's works in providence lead us to hallow his name. How much more ought we to praise him for his most glorious work, our salvation. That's the work that most clearly and fully reveals the power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth of God. fully displays the attributes and glory of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Savior, is Jehovah's salvation, is the revelation of God. In Jesus Christ, we see God. And in Jesus Christ, in his work, we see the heart of God. In Jesus Christ, we see the purposes of God being fulfilled.
God sent the Lord Jesus Christ for miserable sinners like me, miserable sinners like you, to rescue us from the ruin we created for ourselves, to rescue us from the darkness of our depravity, to rescue us from this cursed creation that we brought upon ourselves. He redeemed us, the highest price, a price that is incomprehensible, the price of his own blood. Lord Jesus went to the cross. He suffered there. Greatest suffering anyone would ever suffer. Suffering we will never taste because of what he's done for us. He suffered the wrath of God for all of our sins. He made atonement. He endured hell compressed into those hours on the cross. He merited for us the forgiveness of all of our sins, everlasting righteousness and salvation. He took our sins and the punishment due for them, and he clothes us with his perfect obedience, righteousness, and satisfaction, so that we are now the children of God. So important that the Christian meditate on salvation. Think about what God has done for us, his lowly creatures and sinners besides, what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. And how he was pleased to glorify himself through our salvation. Our salvation also serves that one supreme goal of all things, the glory of God. God has wed the supreme glorification of his own name to our salvation. That is the greatest work, the supreme wonder. Contemplate that. And how can we not bend the knee and cry from the heart, "Hallowed be thy name, glory be to thee, O God, now and forever." Looking around us in the creation isn't enough. If paying attention to the fatherly hand of God in providence isn't enough, let this be enough to praise God. He sent Christ to be my Savior. He has made me his own. The joy of salvation, this petition becomes a joy to pray. Because the joy of salvation in Christ unites our heart to God's will and his purpose. Glorifying his name does become the most important thing in all the world for us. And there's nothing we delight to do more than to show our thankfulness to the God who saved us. Though, therefore, according to the old man, praying this first petition is hard, according to the new man, there's nothing I love more than praying this first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Finally, let us see that the scope of the first petition is yet broader. It lays a claim to our whole life. We hallow God's name by knowing him. And when we know him, we praise him because we see him in all of his works. But it goes farther than that. We also hallow God's name by living for him. By living a life that is a sacrifice of praise to God. Letting our life, by the grace of God, be an unceasing prayer of this first petition. Hallowed be thy name. Ought to be the theme of our life. That's how the Catechism concludes its exposition of the first petition. Picking up in the middle of the answer, where we ended our reading last time. When we pray the first petition, we also are asking this.
and further also that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. In other words, Father, hallow thy name through me. Hallow thy name through my words, but not only that, hallow thy own name through my entire life. Work in me by thy grace, that my entire life, my whole existence, glorifies thee.
Remember, we're not rocks or trees, we're human beings. And the way that God is pleased to have us glorify him is that we glorify him consciously, knowingly, intentionally, actively. And so we're praying here that the Lord will give us a heart for his glory. A life lived for God's glory begins with a heart that is captured and captivated with God's glory. This must be the desire of our hearts, to live for the hallowing of God's name. That's why Jesus put this front and center. It's the chief petition. This is first. This is most important. So easy for us to shuffle the petitions up. Sometimes circumstances in our life might lead us to want to take one of the petitions that come later, move it back up, or move it up to the front. Jesus says, no, always, this is to be your chief desire above all. Hallowed be thy name. So our calling, consciously, intentionally, to make the glory of God my goal, my purpose, my chief desire, so that every decision I make, every path of life that I take, this is in the forefront of my mind. I will glorify God in what I say and do, think and desire. When God's glory is the chief goal of our life, we will pray and strive in dependence on God's grace to direct and order our whole life, so that God's name is never blasphemed, but only ever honored and praised on our account. We live life conscious that as a Christian, I bear the name of my adopted father. And how I live reflects on his name. And therefore, though prayer is the chief part of thankfulness, I'm equally concerned about showing my thankfulness to God in the rest of my life. I'm equally concerned with glorifying his name in the rest of my life. I don't cut up my life into different parts. This part's for God. I'll hallow his name here. This part's for me. And I'm not so concerned about God's name in this sector of my life. No, all of it for the glory of God. That makes us earnest in praying for sanctification. That the Lord will work by his grace in our hearts to root out our indwelling sin and to strengthen us to live obediently to his law. It makes us conscientious that we live consistent Christian lives so that the confession of our mouths and the conduct of our lives agree. Nothing brings dishonor to God's name as when his people say one thing. When his people confess the gospel, but don't live the gospel. When his people exalt their doctrine, perhaps sovereign grace, which is so precious to us, but then they don't live that doctrine. Talk a lot about grace, but have little grace to show to others. We must not have that disharmony in our lives. Let confession of the gospel and living the gospel agree. That's the idea. So as we pray that we hallow God's name, we also pray that he give us the grace to confess the gospel and to live the gospel. Well, that's quite beyond us, isn't it? It is. It's quite beyond us because none of us can do that of ourselves. As long as we have our sinful flesh, this is too much for us. That's why this is a petition.
hallowed be thy name. Grant me to rightly know thee. Grant me to praise thee. Grant me to live for thee and order and direct my whole life for the glory of thy name. The fact that this is a petition declares, I'm insufficient. I can't do this of myself. I will fail. I can only fail. Therefore, I need grace. And that's what all of these petitions are in the Lord's Prayer. Embedded in these petitions is a cry for grace out of a recognition that I can't do this of myself. And the comfort of God's word is that that grace is there for us. Because of what Christ has done for us. His work on the cross earned us this grace that we need. His work on the cross has earned us the privilege of praying, hallowed be thy name. His work on the cross has earned us a renewed life of living for God's glory. The grace is there for us, and the grace is powerfully given to us. That's our confidence. That's our comfort. And so as we have heard this explanation of the first petition, and we see what a grand petition it is, and we see our own insufficiency for it, let us not despair, but rather turn to Christ and call out to God to grant us the grace to pray this petition from the heart and to live a life for God's glory. God will give that grace. He will. What can be more delightful to our Father than for his children to come to him seeking what they need to glorify him? For Christ's sake, he gives us the grace. Of course, as long as we're on this side of glory, we're never perfect. There's much sin in our lives. Christ's blood covers that sin. God's grace spurs us on to strive more and more to grow. Love for God, for his glory. So, beloved people of God, take this petition. Pray it from the heart. Make it the theme of your life. Hallowed be thy name. All glory to God, now and forever. Amen. Our blessed God and heavenly Father, we thank thee for the words of our Savior which teach us to pray. And what a word of instruction we receive in his first petition. We confess, Father, that so often we put other things in first place. Work by thy grace that thy glory may alone occupy the chief place in our life. That we may, by thy grace, dedicate ourselves to knowing thee, to praising thee, to living for thy glory. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has secured the grace that we need to live for thy glory. We depend entirely upon him. Grant us that grace in rich abundance, that we may be for the praise of thy glorious grace, now and forever. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake.